I'm Catherine Flock Price. I'm one of the pastors of Trinity, and glad to be here. I want to invite you to take a look at two different things that are in your bulletin. First of all, there's a connection card in there, and you see it every week, but it really does help us if you will fill that out. At least give us your name and your email if you're here on a regular basis. And if you're here for the first time, if you'll provide as much information as you're comfortable providing, we sure would be able to love to be able to connect with you. The second thing in your bulletin is this invitation. It went out in the mail this week to our community, and it's an invitation to come to services on Christmas Eve. But it is far more effective if you all each take this with you and invite a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker to come with you on Christmas Eve. There are so many who are in need of hearing a word of good news. And a personal invitation from you, and an invitation even to come with you, could make a lasting impact on someone's life. So I invite you to take that invitation and extend it to someone and invite them to come with you on Christmas Eve. You know, as we worship together, we are mindful of the fact that God is continually welcoming us home. God is gathering us in and ready to celebrate a homecoming with us. And so each week as we gather as Trinity, we welcome you home. And so this morning I say to you, welcome home. Now let me invite you to stand up and say hello to somebody near you that you know, and also make it a point to find somebody you don't know and say hello.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship service together by singing our opening hymn.
Morning, as we prepare to light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy, I invite you to share in a responsive reading with me that leads us into that lighting time. Give thanks to the one who lives. Declare God's deeds among the nations. The Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. Shout aloud and sing for joy. Great in our midst is the Holy One of Israel. Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that free from sin we might live for righteousness. Surely God is our salvation. We will trust and will not be afraid. With joy, draw water from the wells of deliverance and say on this day, God is our deliverer. We will be confident and unafraid. So appreciate the dancers this Advent season helping prepare the way for us as we move closer and closer to the manger. This morning, as we take time to pray together as a community, I want you to remember those persons who are part of our congregation who can use your love and prayers. You see some names on the screen. A good news update on one of those, Michael Gracie, who you've seen his name for a number of weeks now, almost 2 months actually. Just yesterday, I was able to visit with Michael, and he was expecting to go home either later in the day or today, and so we give thanks for that. Ask for continued prayers for the others, as well as persons who are in your family and circle of friends that you want to remember today in prayer. And as we prepare to do that together, I wanted to turn our attention to one of the other lectionary readings for this third Sunday in Advent, from the letter to the Philippians. Good news about God's presence for us in all things, and therefore our ability to rejoice. Hear these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Holy God, as we gather in this space once again today, we pray that we might catch the glimpses of joy that you have for us because of your love, especially as it has been revealed through Christ Jesus. And we pray also not only for ourselves, but for all who are in need of such glimpses. We pray especially for those who are sick and suffering, for those who are imprisoned, for those who feel without hope, for those who spent last night without food, for those who long for someone to call them friends. In Christ, you have shown us a way of grace and goodness, and as he ministered to those who needed joy, so you call us to follow in his footsteps. to draw us out of our self-concern this season and into a concern for all of your children in need, that we might be hands and feet at work in the world for your purposes. As Christ, with Christ as our guide, may we go wherever you call us. And it is in his name and his manner that we pray together now this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, we are sharing with you a mission moment about a particular ministry of Trinity. I want to test the waters for a moment. If I say faith mission, for how many of you is that an immediately recognizable name? It's good to see a number of hands go up, and I hope that the next time I say that, even more hands will go up. Faith Mission is a ministry of Trinity United Methodist Church. There is a particular location where we are in ministry in our community in the northeast part of Gainesville. Our facilities for Faith Mission are just across the street from Rawlings Elementary School. And today, we wanted to share with you a story about one person who decided to get involved in Kids Count, of our ministries that's happening there, and how it is making a difference not only for them, but also for her. Take a look at it.
Well, in my family, we have spent countless hours around the dining room table talking about education in America. Why kids are falling through the cracks. Up until 6 years ago, that's all I did, was talk about it. And then we were in church one day, and the Lord announced that he needed somebody to drive the church van to a place called Kids Camp. And I said, well, I can drive a van. So I started driving. I would pick up the van at Trinity and go to Williams Elementary, pick up adorable kids and they come to Kids Camp. The last 4 years, me and Maddie did everything from crafts with the kids, reading books with the kids. We love to cook and make neat little snacks, so we usually did that. We would bring a snack or do a snack with the kids. Children are, they just embody God's love and trust, unconditional love. And in so many ways here at Kids Count, you get to see God's tangible love, because kids run up to you and give you these big hugs. The staff, always so happy that you're here, and you just, the minute you walk in, you can feel God's love. I am just so honored to be able to come to Kids Count and serve them in any small, big, however way they want me to.
Today's Mission Box supports the work of the Faith Mission Ministry, helping provide opportunities like mine to both serve and grow in our faith. We need your help to continue to renovate the Faith Mission facility in Brandon. We need an additional $5,000 to meet our goal this year for roof repairs, playground equipment, and technology upgrades. Thank you very much for your support.
Let me share with you three ways that you can be a part of what's happening through Faith Mission. First is to pray. To pray for our ministry with those children and families and the relationships that are being built in that community and the difference that it's making. Two is to get involved as one of the volunteer servants who goes and invests time in those children and in that community. Our director of Faith Mission, Ward Simonson, would love to talk with you about that. And he'll be out in the walkway at a table after worship today if you'd like to go ahead and start that. And then three is to participate in special offering opportunities for Faith Mission that we do each quarter. There is a portion of the regular operating budget that helps support Faith Mission, and there are also special offerings that help fill out that support for each year. So today, as you leave, if you'd like to make one of those special offerings, you can do so in any of the wooden boxes at your exit doors. So as we pray this morning over all of the offerings that we will be sharing that help support all of the ministries of Trinity, I invite your special prayers for Faith Mission, and let me invite you to pray with me now. Oh God, on this day where we celebrate the joy that is ours through yours, may we find in sharing a portion of what you have blessed us with, so that it might be used in ways that bring joy to others and further your mission, that we might be a part of bringing the good news into the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
can Steve Price. And thank you, Bill Choir. What a beautiful arrangement of We Three Kings, and what a marvelous job you did of leading us and offering that in worship today. Thank you. So this morning is the third Sunday in Advent, and we have been focusing this season on Once Upon a Holy Night, and thinking about different phrases from that beautiful song, O Holy Night. The first week we looked at A Thrill of Hope, the second week, A New and Glorious Morn, and this morning, A Weary World Rejoices. So as we prepare this morning to hear the Word of God in a variety of ways, I invite you to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing it with you as I pray for you and in offering it. That God might speak the Word into your heart and life today. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So sometimes when I watch the news and read the newspaper and look around at the world in which we live, I think, what planet am I on? You know, I wonder, it's not based on appearance, it's not based on language, it's based on how people act, what they do, how they behave, and it never ceases to astound me. Our son Sid is home for Christmas, and he's a senior in college this year, but about 10 years ago, I was thinking about it this week when he came home, about 10 years ago, he played in the AAU state basketball tournament, and they were doing very well in the tournament and came in on the last day, and they learned that one of the teams also doing well in the tournament had been disqualified and taken out, and they were disqualified from the tournament because they were playing with boys who were too old for the age group in which they were playing. And I remember Sid hearing this news about them being disqualified and why. And he kind of took it all in, and I could see his wheels turning, and he said, "But Mommy, wouldn't the coaches know that?" And then it was more of a revelation, and he stopped and he said, "And wouldn't their parents know that?" And I had to say, "Yes, Sid. You know, there are people who are willing to lie and to cheat and to break the rules because they want to win so badly, even at fifth grade. Astounding, isn't it?" You know, and then this year, earlier this year, we saw the trial of the doctor for the U.S. gymnastics team organization. And he was, he had been molesting young athletes, gymnasts, for all of his career, over 300 young girls. And then just this week, an independent investigation found that the U.S. gymnastic executives had known about this for over a year without bringing it to light. Really? And then our politicians and their teams, who seem to be willing to do anything and everything to to lie and to cheat and to break all the rules in order for power and personal gain? I don't know. It truly is astounding. And then I was thinking about this past year, and I was thinking about how many Sundays in worship I have invited you all to be in prayer for a particular community because there had been a mass shooting in that community. Most recently, in November, 1 week, I invited you to pray for the community of the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting. The following week, the Tallahassee Yoga Center shooting, and then the next week, the California nightclub shooting. In 2018, there have been 331 shootings in which four or more people have been injured or killed, resulting in 365 deaths. What planet are we living on? I'm weary. Are you weary? I think our world is weary. And so, we turn to Zephaniah today. Zephaniah, of all places, little teeny book in the Old Testament at the very end. It's just three chapters long and only five pages, so you can go home and read the whole thing this afternoon. Kind of surprising that we go to Zephaniah in Advent, because it's clear from reading just the first two verses that God must have been looking around at the people who were supposedly God's people. God must have been observing them and their behavior, how they were living, and thought, who are these people and where have they put my people? I must be living in some other universe, God must be saying. These people have not remained true to following me. They are complacent. Their leaders are corrupt. They are unjust. They are engaged in behavior that is contrary to everything that I have taught them and wanted for them, to everything about who I thought they were. That sounds familiar? Therefore, the first two chapters of Zephaniah, the words of the prophet are raining down judgment on all the people. They have done what is evil in the sight of God, and they will be punished. Their cities will be made desolate and without inhabitants. The wicked will stumble. Their wealth will be destroyed and their houses laid waste. Neither gold nor silver will be able to save them. Gosh, even that sounds eerily familiar. The people have done what is evil, and there are consequences for that behavior. We don't like to admit it, but we know it's true. There are consequences for our greed, our corruption, our lack of fidelity in many areas of our lives, our inability to follow God's ways. And Zephaniah understands these consequences to be from God. And he says, God will render judgment, God will destroy, God will consume. The image is one of doom and gloom. The outlook is total ruin for a weary world. So why are we talking about Zephaniah in Advent, especially on the third Sunday when we're supposed to be talking about joy, right? Hold on. Zephaniah has been foretelling judgment and doom in the first two chapters of the book. But then part of the way through the third chapter, his tone changes. Instead of doom and gloom, he forecasts joy and calls us all to rejoice. So follow along and hear these words with me from God through the prophet Jeremiah. Rejoice, daughter Zion. Shout, Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed your judgment, has turned away your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is in your midst, and you will no longer fear evil. On that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, "Don't fear, Zion. Don't let your hands fall. Don't be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior bringing victory. He will create calm with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. On that day, I will remove from you those worried about the appointed feast. They have been a burden for her, a reproach. Watch what I am about to do to all your oppressors at that time. I will deliver the lame. I will gather the outcasts. I will change their shame into praise and fame throughout the earth. At that time, I will bring all of you back. At the time when I gather you, I will give you fame and praise among all the neighboring peoples when I restore your possessions and you can see them," says the Lord. This is the word of joy, and this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. You know, one of the things that strikes me about this passage is the word about gathering together and bringing back, kind of homecoming. Another translation says exactly that. It says, "At that time, I will bring you home. At that time, I will gather you." You know, it's that time of year. It's that time of year for gathering, for homecoming. In our house, there will be 18 people that will be coming home for Christmas. Thankfully, we have two houses for them to stay in because everybody stays for quite a few days. You know, we all bring them here, and they're good to come here to us in Gainesville because, you know, Christmas, well, it's just not the best time for us to get away. So everybody comes to us for several days, and it's really a joy. It's a time of great laughter and fun and telling stories and playing games, and we always play street hockey. We have a great time together, all 18 of us. You know, perhaps you have family coming home, or maybe you're going to see family or friends for Christmas. And, you know, some of those gatherings will be sheer joy. Simply seeing parents or children again and embracing extended family. And other gatherings may be filled with different layers of feelings. You know, excited to see the brand new 6-month-old baby, and yet kind of sad because you haven't seen the 6-month-old baby yet, and she's 6 months old. Or happy to be reunited, and yet knowing there have been some differences throughout the year, and maybe some bumps that need to be smoothed out or worked out, difficulties that will need to be overcome. Or perhaps there are differences in your family, conversations that you tiptoe around or even avoid altogether. Homecoming. You know, the homecoming that Zephaniah described is quite a remarkable one. It's so remarkable because what happens in this homecoming is that the slate is wiped clean. Zephaniah says, "The Lord has taken away the judgment against you." Can you imagine all the stupid things that you've ever done? Gone? All the inconsiderate or careless things you've done? Wiped away? The bad things? Perhaps the truly wrong and evil things that you have done? Completely gone. You have been judged innocent, and there will no longer be a record of wrong. You have been released, and your record has been completely expunged. Behold, everything old has passed away, and all things are made new. That's what the Apostle Paul says. It's like that parent, so happy that her runaway son doesn't matter that he's been doing drugs. It doesn't matter that for an entire year she didn't have a phone call from him and was sick with worry, because he has come home. Change their shame into fame and praise throughout the earth. At that time, I will bring all of you back. Then I will gather you to myself. Remember the other homecoming story? There was a young man who decided that he wanted to leave home, and so he went to his father and he told him that he wanted to leave and he wanted all of his inheritance. Gave him what would be his. And he went and he got a high-rise apartment, penthouse in New York City. And during the day, he day-traded, and at night, he partied and was with women. And everything was going along just fine until it wasn't. Until everything crashed. And then, he didn't have anywhere else to go. He didn't have anyone to turn to, and so he turned toward home. He decided he would go home, and his father happened to look out and see his son walking down Elm Street. And he opened the door, and in his suit and designer shoes, he ran down the street to see his son. Perhaps unbecoming for a man of his stature, he wrapped his arms around his son, and his son just crumbled into his arms, full of shame and embarrassment. But his father had forgotten all of that, and was just so grateful to welcome him home. Zephaniah says, "He will create calm with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." So how does Zephaniah say that God is able to do that? Well, we might need a little bit of a history reminder. Remember generations before when the people said to God that they wanted a king? It wasn't enough for God to rule over them. They wanted someone in the flesh, a king who they could see and touch and talk to govern the people. And for many years, then God gave them a king, beginning with King Saul and then King David and then king after king after king. But eventually, their governance became so warped and corrupt. Eventually, the people were so far off track and everything was in ruin. So God decides that God, again, will save the people. God will make all things right. Rejoice, daughter Zion. Shout, Israel. The Lord has removed your judgment, has turned away your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is in your midst. You will no longer fear evil. On that day it will be said to Jerusalem, "Don't fear, Zion. The Lord your God is in your midst." The people were longing for a different world, longing for someone to rule over them again, who could do so with justice and mercy, who would protect them from their enemies and remove evil from them, who would rescue them from what they had become. Remember it says in O Holy Night, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared." Over them as they thought from a distance, from above. No, they wanted someone to be with them, to come down from on high, to appear to them. The second verse of Our Holy Night says, "The King of Kings, the King of Kings, lays thus in holy, in lowly manger. In all our trials, prophets foretold it. And in this season of Advent, we celebrate God coming to be with us in our midst, the King of Kings. Change their shame into praise. Rejoice. Because God in Jesus Christ, through the death and resurrection of Christ, has wiped away our shame and wiped the slate clean. In Zephaniah, God says, I will save the lame and gather the outcast. Rejoice. Because in Jesus Christ, God has come to seek and save the lost and the least. In Zephaniah, we are reminded that that homecoming is within reach. So rejoice, because God has come to save us from ourselves. In Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, God incarnate. So rejoice. Joyful chorus raise we, let all within us praise God's holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, let us praise Him. His power and glory evermore proclaim. So rejoice, rejoice. A weary world awaits us and awaits the good news of Jesus Christ. Rejoice. The Lord is born. Loving God, who gathers us back. We welcome us home. We give you thanks that no matter where we have been, no matter what we have done, no matter how we have behaved, you turn our shame into praise. You wipe the slate clean and make all things new. That, dear God, is good. Contemporary hymn writer David Crowder has a song that says, come out of sadness, from wherever you've been, come, broken hearted, let's heal and be. Earth has no soul, but heaven cannot see. What a beautiful proclamation of all that happens here at God's table, where the King of Kings comes and draws near to and invites us to his table, bringing whatever it is that we have, our sorrow, our shame. We bring it to God, and we exchange it for God's goodness and God's grace, God's forgiveness, and God's sustaining joy. And so Christ took bread and gave thanks to the Father and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup
gave thanks to the Father, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and drink, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Whatever burdens we carried in with us this morning, Christ invites us to bring those to his feet and to lay them at Christ's feet and allow God's grace to work in us and through us so that we can be filled with a joy that goes beyond anything we can describe and go out into that world unafraid and ready to share that joy with everyone that we meet. Let's pray. Lord God, pour your Holy Spirit out on each of us gathered here and on this bread and on this cup, that it may be for us the body of Christ that redeems us, that makes us new in your holy name. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with you and one with each other in ministry to all the world until you come again in final victory and we feast together around your table. Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, work within this church, work within your church universal, to be a beacon of hope and joy in this weary world. Help us draw close to you. Help us come as we are, knowing there is no sorrow in earth that we can receive. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to serve with us to go ahead and come forward now and prepare the elements. Getting things ready, I'll share with you that you do not need to be a member of this church or any church to come to this table. This is Christ's table, and he invites each and every one of us to come just as we are so that God can make of us who we were truly created to be by his love and by his grace. And as you come forward, there'll be a pair of servers in front of each of your sections or close to your section. And if you'll exit to the left side with the front rows making our way to the back rows, as you come forward, you can cup your hands and we're going to tear off a piece of bread and hand it to you. And then you can dip it into the cup and eat it. You're welcome to come and kneel and pray, or you can return by the right side of your seat. We also have gluten-free. If that's a need that you have, just let us know and we'll be happy to serve you. God is waiting to fill you with joy that is contagious in this world. Come as you are, and come to fill with that joy.
Reminder once again to take this invitation card with you. And just a correction, on the back it says the last two services are at 8:30 and 9. The Sunlight Concert is at 8:30. The service is at 9. And the last service is at 11 in the chapel. So correction on the back of the card. You know, if we go back to Zephaniah, that last scripture, the scripture reading that we read, tells us all of these things that God will do. God will turn our shame into praise. God will gather the outcast. God will save the lame. And it asks us to do only two things. In that scripture reading, we're asked to do two things. Don't be afraid and rejoice. I think we can handle that. So, as you go out, don't be afraid and rejoice, for the Lord is come, and that is good news to share. Go, and may the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you all.